Thank you. Blessed be God, most holy, glorious, and individual, undivided Trinity.
And blessed be God's reign, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and bring forth in us the fruit of good works. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." God said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in reading from Psalm 105, antiphonally by whole verse. Those on the lector side will read the verses in bold, while those on the choir side will read the verses not in bold. We give you thanks, O God, and call upon your name. We make known in your deeds among peoples.
We sing to you, we sing your praise, and speak of all your marvelous works.
We glory in your holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek you rejoice.
We search for you and your strength. We continue to seek your face.
We remember the marvels you have done, the wonders and the judgments of your mouth.
We, the offspring of Abraham, your servant, we, the children of Jacob, the chosen ones.
Israel came into Egypt, and Jacob became a sojourner in the land of Ham.
You made your people exceedingly fruitful. You made them stronger than their enemies.
Whose hearts you turned so that they hated your people and dealt unjustly with your servants.
You sent Moses, your servant, and Aaron, whom you had chosen.
Hallelujah.
Reading from the letter to the Romans. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. I've never been entirely certain if starting a sermon with a quote from Shakespeare is cliche or not. But by gum and by golly, I am nothing if not a sucker for the bard. And if I know my audience, a fair amount of you fine folk are just as fond of him as I am. For those who do not know or cannot remember the context of that line, it is spoken by the Danish prince Hamlet to his friend and fellow scholar Horatio, immediately after having seen a ghost. Specifically, the ghost of Hamlet's dead father. Now, Horatio, a sober-minded rationalist, remarks upon this sighting of a ghost as wondrous strange, something I think anyone in his shoes might also say. And yet, Hamlet takes an opportunity to comment on philosophy, not necessarily just Horatio's, but though he is the one standing there, but rather the entire discipline. And how so often even the most intelligent among us, even the most well-credentialed, the most learned, all too often are unable to account for that which is wondrous strange. There are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy. Truly, it is in Horatio's exclamation of that which is wondrous strange that helps contextualize the gospel for us this morning, as is Jesus' rejoinder to encourage us to dream bigger. For the past few weeks, if you have been following the lectionary, we have seen Jesus do progressively more impressive miracles, including walking on water and healing a woman whom Matthew calls a Canaanite woman, Mark calls a Syrophoenician woman. These are important stories, wondrous, strange. And Jesus appears not only as a master of creation, but a compassionate healer with mastery over life and death itself. And it all culminates, of course, when Jesus asks his disciples who they think he is. And Simon Peter proclaims him the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so, moved by this profession of faith, Jesus even declares Peter to be the rock upon which the church is built. And all of that makes today's passage exceptionally hilarious, at least to me. For you see, sometimes I think whoever made the selections of the scripture passages in the lectionary is either a complete and utter hack who should never have been given that power, or the greatest comedic mind of their generation. Because what do you mean? You divide the same conversation in which Jesus calls Peter the rock upon which my church will be built into two different Sundays. Because in the book, in the Bible, in the gospel, it comes one right after another. It is immediately, Peter, you did good. And then, Peter, you're Satan. You are waiting a full week to give the punchline of a joke that nobody knew they were telling if they were just listening to the scriptures week after week. And so it appears as if Jesus has completely flipped his lid on Peter with no run-up or warning after he was just telling Peter how cool he was. And now he's calling him Satan. To get behind me, Satan. Then again, it makes sense why he's calling Peter that. Peter, without really thinking all the way through, which, you know, fair, we all do that, just confessed that he believed that Jesus is the Messiah. Yes, good. Well done. This passage is Jesus explaining what that means. Because there's a lot that people believe a Messiah is supposed to do and to be, and none of those things includes being called a heretic and then killed by the state. Being a Messiah, an anointed one, a chosen one, whatever you want to call it, looks very much the same in most stories. Messiahs are seen to be great men, indeed great kings of men, who command legions, save the people, and overturn the ruling powers of this world, in order to replace them, hopefully, with something better. They are your King Arthur Pendragons, the once and future king. They are Aragorn, son of Arathorn, heir to the throne of Gondor. They are Paul Atreides of Arrakis. And note that all the messiahs that I just listed are not real. But they do tick those boxes of being great kings of men who command legions, save the people, and overturn empires. But they also have their own elements of subversion. There are elements to their stories that do not neatly fish the idea of the chosen of the people, the Messiah. Arthur was a lost heir, an intellectual, uneasy with kingship that was his birthright, and ultimately he was a failed king. Aragorn, son of Arathorn, was a lost heir, a son of a line that was severed when his ancestor failed to destroy the One Ring, and thus he was raised in the wilderness, away from the great halls of his forebears. Paul Atreides was a lost heir. Are you seeing the pattern? He was a noble son who had to survive in the wilderness and who in the end became a Messiah based on a lie, a myth that his mother capitalized upon and used to their advantage, who used the faith of the people to become a ruler just as cruel as the one that came before him. The truth is, we love our stories of messiahs as a concept, but often messiahs do not reflect the myths that are built up around them. Instead, they either often fail to live up to the myth, or they become a tyrant themselves, the kind of person another messiah would come to supplant. All of these are stories we tell about ourselves, of a hero king come to save us from oppression. But what these stories reflect is that messiahs are often all too human, And what they face in their struggles are not what we might imagine them to face. In the story of the Gospels, then, Jesus is here today to dispel us of the myths that surround his messianic destiny. Jesus is the Messiah. Yes, true. He is the heir of the line of David, the Son of God, the promised coming Son of Man, the great man that would come to save people and overturn the oppressive powers of the world. And to do that, he will suffer, he will be put to death, and he will defeat death and be resurrected 3 days later. But Peter, bless his heart, stopped listening to Jesus when he heard the words, "be killed." And on the one hand, I think this is a perfectly reasonable thing to do, because that is a very shocking statement to hear. Peter was, after all, Jesus's friend and follower, and has seen him perform wonders and miracles. He was as much a true believer as anyone. But he didn't know what kind of story he was in. Peter thought he was in a much more straightforward story. Peter only considered that Jesus was there to free the Jewish people from the tyrannical Roman rule. He was there to save the land of Israel and Judea from the hands of the invasive colonial empire that had taken over. That story has a much more straightforward narrative, at least in his mind, because to do all that, all it takes to become Messiah in that narrative is to rally the people, storm the castle, free the people from the invading army. You know, that's not necessarily easy, but it is simple to get your mind around. It is understandable. A few generations previous, the Maccabees did just that. There was precedent there, and so it would make sense for a young Jewish man in occupied Judea to think that was the story he was in. So I can't really blame him, as much as we like to do so. He failed, like we often fail, to perceive the real story as it was going to play out. Jesus's main opposition was not just the Roman Empire, but the concept of empire itself. Jesus's opponents were not the specific Jewish priests and scribes of Jerusalem, but religious corruption itself. Jesus's campaign was not merely provincial and concrete, isolated to the land of Israel and Judea, but instead one of cosmic importance. He was not simply oppositional to the violence of empire, but violence itself. Jesus' true enemy was death. And the only way to undo death is to suffer it. Jesus was going to die, only to reverse the process and make it so that death no longer has the final word. Jesus would speak life into the world, and in so doing, bring together the world as we know it under the reign of God. Wondrous strange, is it not? There are more things in heaven and earth than are ever dreamt in your philosophy. But of course, that isn't all. A Messiah needs followers, after all. And Jesus tells his friends that if they want to be his disciples, if they want to be his followers, if they want to follow him, they need to be willing to die, to take up their crosses and follow him. Now, with 2,000 years of linguistic drift, that sentence tends to lose a bit of its oomph. of saying, oh yeah, just take up your cross and follow him, right? No, a cross is a positively ghastly, implement of death. It was a symbol of imperial cruelty and power. And Jesus was telling his friends that they too would need to be willing to give up everything if they are going to inherit the reign of God. They needed to abandon their sense of self-preservation if they ever want to truly follow this Messiah into the promised kingdom. And that, my dearest friends, is not an easy thing to do. Being willing to give up everything, your very life, that's a complicated matter. And each of us is charged with working out how that will look with fear and trembling. You, my dear friends, you will be asked to make difficult decisions if you take seriously the call of Christ. You must be willing to sacrifice everything this world will promise you. Security, money, certainty, power, fame, all of it. You must be willing to sacrifice in order to inherit the reign of God. It is easy to do that if you have nothing else to lose. Jesus' followers were not exactly rich, nor were they rooted in one specific place. They did not have trusts, nor pensions, nor 401ks, nor anything like that to consider. But they did have families, and they did have livelihoods and futures and businesses that they were on the track to do before they followed Jesus. But in Jesus, they saw that there was something to him that made it special, that made it worth sacrificing all of it. And all Jesus is asking of them and of you is to just see that through to the end. Follow the logic all the way. Jesus warns them that you will face cruelty, yes. Struggle, of course, torture and death also. But if you keep on listening, you will learn that the end of the road is the undoing of death. Old King Death will be dethroned, and the Son of God would reverse entropy itself to offer to all of us the creation of new life, a new beginning. And if that isn't a road worth following, then I do not know what is. Hamlet and Horatio saw a ghost and marveled at its wondrous strangeness. But Jesus offers us more than spectral undeath. Jesus fully will reverse the death that comes for us all if we would be willing to follow Jesus all the way to the end of the road. Jesus offers us new life. If we are willing to die, that's the only price. That is the price of life unending, the price of the reign of God to come. And I am not going to say that that is an easy decision, but it is your decision. We most likely have more in common with Peter than we would like to admit. Often we're convinced that we're in one kind of story when really we're in a very different story to begin with. There is far more in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in our philosophies. And it will seem wondrous strange, impossible even. But Jesus promises the impossible, and we must make space in our faith for impossible demands if we are to inherit the impossible kingdom that is to come. And if that sounds like something that you can believe in, the choice is simple. Take up your cross and follow Jesus all the way to the end. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world.
Loving God, we pray for unity and peace in your church. Increase our fellowship with one another and our openness to others. Give us the courage to proclaim the saving power of the cross. May your church bring reconciliation and peace in your world. We pray for all who lead the church, including bishops, deacons, priests, and lay people. Lord of glory, we pray for peace in our hearts, for peace in our communities, for peace in your world, that we may live at peace with all people. We pray for political leaders of this world, this country, and this community. We give thanks for all peacemakers and pray for all who offer your peace to this world. Lord of glory,
grant us your peace.
May our homes be places of peace and love, homes of holiness and hospitality, homes of harmony and unity. May we learn acceptance and forgiveness through our loved ones. Let us not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Lord of glory,
grant us your peace.
We pray for all who are not at peace, for the brokenhearted and the broken in spirit. We pray for all who have suffered from violence, hatred, or any form of discrimination. We pray for all who are in trouble, need, sickness, or any other adversity, and for those who care for them. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. Lord of glory,
grant us your peace.
We pray for all who have died. Lord, when you come in your glory, make us to be one with you and the saints who are now at peace. Lord of glory,
grant us your peace.
Lord, as you love us, help us to love one another. Give to your church a burning zeal and keep us ardent in our spirits. May we ever rejoice in the hope that you have set before us through Christ, our living Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins to God.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Beloved, the peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of peace with each other. Our senior warden will give us a summary of the announcements.
Thank you. Good morning. I just want to call attention or emphasize the first four items that are on the yellow sheet. I really invite you to take this home and read all of them because there is much happening in the coming weeks. Today, I'd like to say, first of all, to welcome Mae Barnes as our preacher today. Thank you. Second, it's not too late to sign up for Pamela's and Maggie's Inwardly Digest online class, which is going to be happening on Wednesdays on Zoom from 7 to 8:30. And if you'd like to join and get the link, please contact the office at your earliest convenience. Also, we are going to be honored to be able to hold the full convocation here at St. Martin's, and that's going to be on September 19th. And it's not just the convention delegates that are invited to attend. So if you're really interested in learning a little bit more about what's going on in the diocese, what are some of the items that are going to be coming up at convention, you are most welcome and encouraged to attend. We will be serving lunch. Please register at the link that's provided on the yellow sheet, and it'd be great to see you here. We did this last year, and there were actually quite a few students, and it was most welcomed. But if you have a couple of hours to give, we're going to be holding the UC David Students Welcome here at the parking lot. We allow students to park in the lot here as they move into the nearby apartment complexes. So if you're able to help during that move-in week, please let us know. Again, there's more information on the yellow sheet. So, and lastly, it's not on the yellow sheet, but I do want to say that especially today, I'm feeling very blessed to have our so many associate priests, our deacons, and our trained homilists to really serve us at worship when Pamela is able to take a few days off. So I just want to say thank you all. I know that we probably don't say that often enough. So, and thank you all for being here today too. Thanks.
Thank you. Pamela is taking a few days of well-deserved rest. And again, thank you, May, for bringing the word to us. Are there any celebrations and milestones? We must have some. Oh, I always forget. If you're new, if you've never been here before, or you've been here before but never got a welcome bag, or if you just like a welcome bag, please hold up your hand. We're not going to make you stand up and admit that you're new. Okay, I guess, yes, good, thank you. Do we have any milestones or celebrations Yes. Yes. Today is your grandpa's birthday? All right. Happy birthday. Did you have a birthday? Gonna be your birthday tomorrow. Does your mama know that? Yes. Okay. Yeah. A birthday? Okay, another birthday. Yes. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Any others? Yes, sir. Boo. Great. Good to have you with us. You're down around the last curve. Any others? Yes.
The choir practice starts up again this Thursday, so I'm celebrating that and inviting you to come.
Good. Come and join the mighty singing group. Any other comments? I usually forget to explain about communion. All are welcome at Christ's table. The way we do that in this congregation is you form two lines, one on this side, one on that side. Come forward. You are welcome to participate with bread and wine, or one or the other. The bread is gluten-free and vegan, so that all can participate. If you come, let's see, it's the same on both sides at this service, isn't it? You may either receive the bread in your hands, and you may consume it, or simply hold it. If you consume it, then you will get the chalice, which comes along later. If you want to hold it in your hand, the Eucharistic minister will pick it up and tinct it, which means to dip it into the chalice and give it to you. And so remember, all are welcome to Christ's table. So let us walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe. Glory to you forever and ever. At your command, all things came to be. Shining light and enfolding dark, the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile Earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with the capacity for memory, reason, and skill. You made us stewards of your creation.
Glory to you forever and ever.
But we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again you called us to return. Through prophets and sages you revealed your righteous law. In the fullness of time you sent your son, born of a woman, to be our savior. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death, he opened to us the way of freedom and peace.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for sending us Jesus the Christ, who on the night before he was handed over to suffering and death took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine. He gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Therefore, we have been redeemed by Jesus Christ and made a new people by water and the Spirit. Now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Sanctify us also, and let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth and make us your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom, where peace and justice are revealed, that we, with all your people of every language, race, and nation, may share the banquet you have promised. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Creator of all.
Glory to you forever and ever.
As our Savior Christ has taught us, we now pray, first in Spanish and then in English. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día, perdona nosotros ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No los caer tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuya es la poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
Alleluia! Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assure us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Life is short, and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who walk the way with us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And the blessings of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you forever.
Amen.
In peace, to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.